The title of my message tonight is Encouragement for Impatient Sufferers. Encouragement for Impatient Sufferers. In James chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible reads, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies." Patience. Of all the virtues that a Christian is called to put into practice, the virtue of patience can be among the most difficult, especially during times of great affliction. Common temptations in times of trials include questioning and doubting God, taking matters into our own hands, and growing irritable with those around us. And such actions reveal a spirit of impatience toward God and toward men. And it is this spirit that James is addressing in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. James knows that it is easy to become weary in well-doing. And James knows that the candle wick of patience can burn short. James knows that impatience in the life of a Christian can lead to many other sinful decisions. And so knowing this, James writes these words hoping to be a source of encouragement to the flock who are suffering, specifically suffering with an impatient attitude. And as we approach this topic, it is important to confess that this is a topic that we need constant reminding of. Looking back at our own lives, how many of us can say that there has never been a time where we have grown discouraged because of someone's wrongdoing to us? How many of you can honestly say that you have never grown impatient during seasons of suffering? How many can say that there was never a time that you distrusted God and became irritable towards those around you when encountering a storm in your life? The truth is, not one of us can respond in the affirmative. We have all grown impatient. We have all been guilty of forgetting the promises of God's word and thus allowing the troubling circumstances to suffocate us spiritually. Acknowledging this should produce within us an eager desire to hear what James is about to tell us on the subject of patience. And this should produce an eager desire so that we might strive to practice this Christ-like virtue both now in our present afflictions and in the future for the afflictions that lie before us. Having read the text and introduced the subjects, let me provide you with four considerations that we must take to heart if we are going to endure afflictions in a God-glorifying manner. If you are here tonight and you desire to live a victorious Christian life in the midst of persecution, in the midst of betrayal, in the midst of physical and emotional suffering, or any other form of distress, you must take heed to these four remedies, these four helps and encouragements from this section of James. The first thing that James is calling us to consider in the midst of our hurt is our patience towards the Lord. Our patience towards the Lord. Number one, consider your patience toward the Lord. Verses 7 and 8, James says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." until the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receiveth the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Under this first main point, we are given two exhortations and one reminder. Two exhortations. The first exhortation is be patient. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren. Now, the word therefore is a connecting word that draws us back to the previous text. Last week, we considered James in his rebuke to the rich oppressors. There were those in the congregation who were dishonest in their ways and causing God's children to suffer. There were those who were lying, those who were taking advantage, and those who were cheating so that they might come in their power to keep wages from those who worked for them. So James rebukes them for their unhonest ways. But after rebuking the rich, those who are oppressing, James seeks to encourage those who are being oppressed. So he says, be patient. So these words, be patient, are not random words. James is not pulling words out of a hat and seeking to fill his time by writing a random statement. No, this is a statement found in a greater context. And James is encouraging those who are being taken advantage of, those who are suffering, to be patient. And James does not tell them to retaliate. And James does not tell them to slander these rich oppressors. And James does not tell them to take them to court. James tells them to be patient. Now, such a response is a supernatural response, not a natural response. The natural response under times of oppression, during times of great discouragement, is to speak your mind. It's to retaliate. It's to one up those who have wronged you. But James says, don't act in such a way, because such a way is contrary to the way of the Christian. And notice the word in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren. He is speaking to his spiritual family, to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he is telling them of all the virtues that you need to put on display during this difficult time. It's the virtue of patience. Don't become impatient and do something foolish that you will regret later. Don't become impatient and ruin your Christian testimony before the lost. Some of these rich oppressors might just be without Christ. And they are not reading their Bibles, but they are reading the lives of the Jews who are being oppressed. And James wants them to be a bright and burning light before them, a faithful testimony of what a Christian is. So he says, be patient. This is the supernatural response. But James is not expecting them to respond naturally, but supernaturally, because they are the people of God. And the people of God ought to live a life that is supernatural. When I say that, I do not mean that the believer lives within his own power and strength, but he lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. He abides in Jesus Christ so that he might walk in a worthy manner. So James is saying, be patient, therefore, brethren. And Christians are to be a people who exhibit patience toward God. Is it possible to become impatient with God during trying times? Is it possible to respond, Lord, why me? Lord, I thought you were good. Why am I going through this? God, this is not what I deserve. And thus these remarks towards God demonstrate that we have grown impatient with him. But the patient Christian remembers Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. A supernatural Christian who is patient remembers that he is not to take vengeance, because vengeance belongs unto the Lord, and he will repay in his time. So we have this exhortation of being patient. The second exhortation is found in verse 8. James says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts," or establish your hearts. In other words, James is saying, take courage during your times of persecution. Stay faithful. Continue running the Christian race. Do not sink under your trials. That's what Satan wants. That's what the enemy desires. That's what the world desires for you, that you would crumble and that you would fail and that you would turn your back on God. But James is saying, don't be that Christian. Don't become weary in well-doing. And James is calling them for a commitment, a resolve in the midst of their trials. And he is saying, guard your heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and the life lives. Be patient, and you will be patient if you establish your hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is the New Testament equivalent to Proverbs 4:23. James is saying, keep thy heart, protect it, and do it with all your might. Don't become slack, because if you do, you might fall, you might fail. And James is addressing those who are about to collapse under the weight of persecution. And I think we all know something about that. In times of great trials, we're tempted to speak against God. We're tempted to question and doubt God. We're tempted to throw in the towel. But in those times, we need to commit our hearts afresh and anew to God and remember His goodness and His grace, and continue on in that goodness. So he gives us two exhortations. Be patient. Establish your hearts. Then he gives us a reminder. And the reminder is this, that the Lord is coming. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Then he gives an illustration of a husbandman, a farmer. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. So James gives us an encouragement under this exhortation. Be patient. Guard your hearts, because the Lord is coming soon. Isn't that a wonderful motivation? Why should I be patient? Why should I continue to walk in holiness when everybody else around me is doing wrong? Because the Lord is coming back soon. And when the Lord comes back, He will reward the faithful and judge those who are unfaithful. So keep doing right. Press forward to the mark, so that when He comes, you might receive the crown of life, so that you might receive those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord is coming. The illustration of a farmer, of all people, of all trades, surely the farmer is one of the most patient. The farmer has no control over the weather. The farmer has no control of the crops growing. The farmer, whether he realizes it or not, is waiting on God to give the increase. And so we are to be like the farmer, waiting upon God not taking things in our own hands, not being wise in our own conceits, but ever trusting in the Lord and waiting for Him. When you're wronged and you have oppressors, one of the greatest encouragements for your heart is remembering that the Lord is coming. And what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. When we look upon His face, the one who saved us by His grace. What a day that will be when we shall ever be with the Lord. And will we regret being faithful when He returns? We will not. The truth is, we will wish we would have been more faithful. So maybe you're here tonight and you've been an impatient sufferer. And it's allowed you to grow weary in your spiritual life, even questioning God, growing lax in your personal worship because you've been discouraged. Can I encourage you to be patient? Can I encourage you to establish your hearts? Can I encourage you by the fact that the Lord will return and He will return soon? Number two, James would have us to consider our patience toward one another. Our patience toward one another. Verse number 9. James says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." And James not only speaks about the believer's vertical relationship with God, but also his horizontal relationships with others. And James does this because he knows that often when our relationship with God is not right, our relationship with others is not right. And James cautions them not to give way to grudging or grumbling. This is a common temptation when we are weak and weary, grumbling like the Israelites, grumbling, complaining, wishing, lusting. But James says, don't give in to that. It's not worth it. It will not help you grow spiritually. And James cautions them not to give way to revengeful grudging. This revengeful grudging is grudging that is toward the oppressed, toward those who are doing wrong. Grudging, well, you're going to get it. Grudging, I don't deserve this. Grudging, you just wait. You turn your back and I'll get you. Grudging. Now James says, don't give in to that. James would not have us to give in to envious grudging. This is a grudging toward those who are free from calamities. You know, those people who come to you in your times of affliction and say, I'm praying for you. And you tense up and you say, you have no idea what I'm going through. Don't pray for me. You've never gone through a trial that I've gone through. Don't. Until you do, then we'll talk. It's possible to respond to our brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way. But we must not. And then there's also an empty grudging. You know, those times where you're not sure why you're grumbling, you're just grumbling. And really, it's the pain that is speaking for you. And you find yourself just grumbling and grumbling and grumbling, and then somebody asks you, why are you grumbling? And you say, I don't really know, I just am. Deal with it. But it's the pain, it's the circumstances around you pressing you to grumble. But the reason we should not grudge is because the Lord, the judge, standeth before the door. Again, another illustration of the Lord's return. Don't grudge one against another, brethren. Yes, you're in a hard time. Yes, you've been scattered abroad because of persecution. Yes, you are facing more persecution through these rich oppressors. But understand, the Lord, the eternal judge, will punish the wicked and reward the good. Grudging against your brother will not help anything. It will only hurt you and hurt them. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. One author puts it, he says, we bring more calamities upon ourselves by our murmuring, distrustful, envious groans and grudgings against one another than we are often aware of. You have a spouse at home. When you go through hard times, they're the first line of attack. How about your precious children? When you're squeezed like a ketchup packet ready to burst, you take it out on them. Oh, we need to be tender-hearted, kind, loving, especially among the church of God. We need to be careful of our patience. We need to be patient toward the Lord and patient one with another. One of the most beautiful things in a local church is when people who are at odds with one another, who have been impatient with one another, come together and reunite and serve the Lord again, one with another. It's one of the most beautiful things. The reconciliation between brothers and sisters in Christ. Will there be times where the pressure is on, whether collectively or individually, and we just feel like taking it out on somebody? Sure. I think it's a common human temptation. But when we give way to that, we need to repent, confess, and get right with others. So consider your patience towards one another. In our third point, consider the patience of the prophets. Verse 10. James, again, is seeking to be an encourager. He is a faithful shepherd, a faithful pastor. He is feeling for his people, and he would have them to stand and serve the Lord. And so he would have them to consider the patience of the prophets. Verse 10, he says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. So with a desire to encourage, James highlights the faithfulness of the prophets like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. And over through this series, we have seen James get his theology from Jesus, his half-brother, the master teacher. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus pointed to the prophets. James here is pointing to the prophets. Why? Because the Jews had a high regard for the prophets, the men of God who were used as mouthpieces in proclaiming God's truths. And though these men were hated, persecuted, and sometimes killed, they were considered heroes of the faith for staying steadfast. Steadfast during hard times. Next time you're discouraged, read the prophets. Next time you're ready to throw in the towel, read Jeremiah. Jeremiah was about to throw in the towel. Jeremiah said to the Lord, Lord, I'm done. You've called me, yes. You've separated me even before I was born. But all you want me to preach is judgment. And I preach judgment and I see no results. Lord, I am tired and I am weary and I am done. But there in a few verses later, we see the word of the Lord as a fire within his bones. And he says, I will not quit. I have to keep faithful. How much Jeremiah went through. And we read of Ezekiel and Elijah and Daniel. All of these men who endured. And they endured because they trusted the Lord. They did not retaliate to those who hated them. They did not respond impatiently or arrogantly. They did not give up. They committed the keeping of their souls to God. And so must we. Do you think we would consider them heroes if they did give up? I don't think so. And over in my sermons, I bring before you these men. It's a strange truth, but it is a truth nevertheless. We gain great encouragement from others who have suffered and suffered greatly. And Peter and John beat for preaching in the name of Christ. And after being beaten, after being commanded not to preach, they continue. And we hold them in high regard in our hearts and we cheer them on and we say, yes. But if we were Peter and John, we might have our doubts. Is it worth going on? Those lashes hurt. We read of a Joseph being betrayed by his brothers, being sold into Potiphar's house. And we read it looking back and we say, yes, but what heartache he went through. We look at David running for his life. King Saul is throwing spears, seeking to destroy him. And we say, yes, what a man worshiping God through it all, but it was hard. And I often mention men in church history, William Tyndale, William Carey, John Bunyan, David Brainerd, Fanny Crosby. And these are meant to encourage us. We have a great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us, who've paved the way and have shown us that it is possible through the grace and strength of the Lord to persevere even through trying times. It is possible. So don't give up. There will be times where you do not want to get out of bed. There will be times where you will be tempted to stay home from church. There will be times where you do not want to talk to another soul about Christ. If we're honest, the flesh overcomes and we become weak. But in those times, we need to remember the prophets as a source of encouragement, because James tells us they are an example of suffering affliction and suffering affliction with patience. Consider the patience of the prophets. And then our fourth point, consider the kindness of the Lord. In verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now James brings another individual who suffered to their minds, another individual that they would be very familiar with in hopes that they might be strengthened. And James reminds them of Job. And we always talk about Job when we speak of suffering, don't we? Now why Job? Here's why. Job is often referred to when we speak about suffering because Job suffered so much loss in so little times and responded in a God-glorifying manner. That's why we talk about Job. Read Job 1. Job loses his physical possessions. Job loses his children. Job loses his health. And his wife tells him to curse God and die. Curse God and commit suicide. How many of you have gone through that within a week? That's why we refer to Job. And Job, how does he respond? Does he give up? Does he shake his fist at God? Does he retaliate? No, he falls on the ground and worships, saying, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. What a man. What a man of patience. What a godly man. And tracing our way through Job, we read more responses of this man. Not only everything that has happened, but now his friends come to him and charge him with being a hypocrite, charge him with sinning against God, and therefore that's why all this is happening to him. But yet Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And Job says, "But he, God, knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And through great pain, Job still maintained his integrity. He did not charge God foolishly. That's why we look to Job. And we learn from the testimony of Job, yes, Job's steadfastness, but overruling his steadfastness was the Lord's kindness. When you read the book of Job, yes, see Job, but above Job, see God. Job responded the way that he is because of God. It was God who sustained Job through all of his trials. It was God who encouraged Job during those dark days when his friends discouraged him. It was God who blessed Job at the end of his life. And James tells us, "Oh, weary believers, remember the patience of Job. And in remembering Job, remember the Lord. He is very pitiful and of tender mercies." All this happened to Job, not to break Job, but to bless Job. Not to push him away from God, but to draw him closer to God. That's why trials come into our life as believers. And it's only when we remember these truths that we can persevere through them. Church family, remember, the Lord will not leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is the portion of your heart, your rock, your refuge, your fortress, your joy, and your salvation. Remember what Peter said, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Are your hands heavy? Are you weary? Are you discouraged? Has a particular trial, circumstance caused you to doubt God, caused you to speak ill to those around you? Oh, be encouraged tonight by these four things. These four encouragements from James. What is the level of your patience toward God and others? Are you allowing your current trials to defeat you or to grow you? May God help us to be patient in prayer like the prophets. Patient in trusting Him like Job. And patient as we persevere in running the race, keeping our eyes focused and fixed upon the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are consumed with those around you speaking ill, remember Hebrews chapter 3. Consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners, lest ye be weary and faint.
in your mind. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you're fainting, perhaps you need to have a season of prayer, season of seeking God, and a season of meditating upon these truths in God's Word so that you might be a victorious Christian.